Well, happy Mother's Day. I thought this morning that I'd share a list of some things that mothers have taught us. Like my mother, for example, like she taught me logic. So if you fall out of that tree and break your neck, you can't go to the store with me. Like, really? Just come up with that on your own? As well as if everyone else jumped off of a cliff, would you do it too? And she quit asking me that question because I would. Like over and over again. She taught me humor. Like when the lawnmower cuts you off your toes, don't come running to me. She taught me genetics. So you're just like your dad. She taught me anticipation. Just wait till your father gets home. She taught me about receiving. Like you're going to get it when I get home. She taught me about religion. You better pray that stain comes out of the carpet. She taught me about stamina. You'll sit there till all that spinach is finished, young man. And she taught me the circle of life. I brought you into this world, I can take you out. And my all-time favorite, my mom taught me justice. She said, one day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. I am so thankful to my mom in particular, and many of you are probably the same. My mom drug me to church every single Sunday. I don't remember what day of the week I was born on, but that next Sunday I was in church. And even when I was a senior in high school, and I was working a job at a golf course, and I had to cut grass at 7 a.m. on Sunday morning. She'd say, I expect to see you in church. And I was in church every single week, really, of my life. I can probably count on these two hands how many Sundays of church that I've missed in 43 years of life. And I really owe that a lot to my mom, and that she taught me what faithfulness is. You know, growing up, I never once heard my mom say a negative thing about our church. And so therefore I fell in love with the church. And were there things wrong with our church? You better believe it. But she knew enough in her head that if I talk bad about that, then my kids are going to grow up to hate it. And it's the same true, with us. If we speak bad about the church, if we talk bad about what's going on in the environment that's here, our kids are going to grow up hating the church and not wanting to be a part of it. But my mom taught me something very different. And we're going to go to church and we're going to love it, whether you really do or not. But it instilled in me this unbelievable love for the church and for what God does through the church. And as I thought about the message this morning, like I really did, I thought, what can I say about mothers that hasn't already been said 100 times before? You know, I've been preaching, I said, for 22 years and talking about Mother's Day. Some of you, you've been attending church services for 70 and 80 years, and you've heard everything there is about mothers. For some of you, today is not only a day of celebration, but for some of you, it's a day of heartache and a day of pain. Maybe you've lost a mother. Maybe you have been trying to conceive and trying to have a child for years, and for some reason, it's not working. And the thought of Mother's Day doesn't bring a lot of joy. It brings a lot of pain and a lot of hurt. You know, there'll be many messages today all over the world delivered about the virtuous woman that's in Proverbs chapter 31. Said, who can find a virtuous woman for the price is, for her price is far above rubies. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. There'll be a lot of people preaching that today. There'll be a lot of sermons on the story of Jochebed, who was the mother of Moses, and the sacrifice that she made by putting Moses in the basket in the bulrushes so that he could be eventually deliver God's people from slavery in Egypt. Many preachers will talk today about the story of Hannah, who prayed and prayed and prayed for a child, and then and dedicated that child to God. Said, God, if you give me a child, I'll give him to your service. And then she did, and God gave her a child, and he went to ministry in the temple his entire life. Certainly, there is a whole lot that we can say about mothers. Many stories we can tell, and what I have to say will probably be something you've heard before, because I'm going to use really the story of Jesus' mother, Mary, and there'll be people preaching about this all over the place. But I just want to add, even though you may have heard some of this stuff before, the story of mother never gets old, because it continues to be a driving force in our communities and in our lives. In all that we do, mothers are usually the ones that are pushing us to be better people. You know, dads push us a lot of times to be better athletes or better business people, but mom's the one that's always pushing us to be better people. And so as we look at kind of the life of Mary and Jesus and the relationship that was there, there are some things that I think that we need to understand. And the first one is this: you need to understand the potential that your children have, mothers. Like, understand the potential your children have in the kingdom to make a difference. Because all of us do. Your child was given to you as a gift from God, and not just so that they can be a great athletes or great teachers or great educators or great people. Like, they were given to you so that they could be great in the kingdom of God and influence the lives of so many people. And we've got to understand that potential. See, it's so easy for us so often to understand potential in other areas. Like, we can see that someone has music potential pretty early on, usually. And so we send them to practice, and they'll play the guitar, or they'll play the piano, or they'll play the banjo, or they'll be singing, and we'll send them to voice lessons and things like that. Why? Because we see the potential that's in them to do great things in the music field. We see their potential usually at a very early age for athletics and for sports. And so we put them in all kinds of traveling teams and practice and special coaching and all of these things, because we see their potential. And I'm not saying any of these things are bad. I'm just talking about potential. We see that our kids have this potential in them. We see potential. Sometimes, like, I saw potential in Caitlin at a very early age to be a servant, to serve. Like I saw that. In fact, one time, and this is a bad dad story, not a bad mom story, but you know, one time, like, she was such a servant. I said, "Hey, Caitlin, go get me some crackers and some cheese." Jennifer was mad at me, but she went running in, because she's such a servant and does it with a happy heart. Like, she went running into the kitchen, slid on the floor, crashed her head right into the corner of the wall. And I tried to tell Jennifer, like, I'm just building on her potential as a servant. I was not being lazy. But when we recognize, listen, that God has given each and every one of us and our children the potential to influence the people in the kingdom of God, to make life change possible, like, it really changes the way we look at them. Mary, when Jesus was born, they followed all of the customs, all of the rituals that they were supposed to. They ended up in the temple, and this crazy guy named Simeon grabs a hold of baby Jesus and gives this great prophecy about him, and says that this guy is really going to change the world. Mary understood that. She understood that there was potential. And I don't know what it looked like for the first 30 years of his life. We don't have a lot of information about that. But we see the potential, and it's in Luke chapter 2. Or it's not Luke chapter 2. It is in John chapter 2. It says this: on the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." So she knew that there was potential there. Like, she knew that Jesus was on the scene for something great. And Jesus says, "Woman, why do you involve me?" Like, that's not the way you talk to your mother, really. But Jesus would have meant no disrespect. This is a translation thing. But Jesus replied, "My hour has not yet come." And listen to what Mary said. His mother said to the servants, just do whatever he tells you. Like, this guy has got greatness in him. Like, this guy from a child, we knew that he was going to make an impact in the world. We've waited 30 years now. We don't know. We're not even sure what it is. They'd misunderstood the whole concept of what Jesus came to do. But they said, hey, listen, just do whatever he tells you because he's got some potential. It says, nearby stood six stone jars of water, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. And they did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you've saved the best till now. What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed him. Mary saw the potential in Jesus, even though maybe for 30 years it wasn't coming to fruition. For some of you mothers out there, you've been praying for your kids for 30 years. And I just want to tell you, don't stop, because there's potential in what they can do in the kingdom. Like, it may not be evident right now. You may not know what it's called for. You may not know the impact they're going to have in the world. But listen, when they finally realize their potential, when you speak their potential into them about the kingdom, when you set them up for success in the kingdom, you'll never know the impact that it could have for future generations. You'll never know the difference that their lives will make. Second thing is, I want you to understand the pressure. There's pressure being a mom. Probably in this generation, more so than most. There's this pressure for perfection on you as moms. I think a lot of this stems in from our social media world and all that we see. We see all of the pictures of the perfect, happy family who mom had to beat 10 minutes beforehand to get them to smile for this picture. But it's posted up there, and it makes us, the pressure of us being a mother just weighs us down. And I've always said about Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of those things, we see everyone else's highlight reel when we know our own. We know our own mess. And it creates this really ungodly amount of pressure on us to be perfect, and we feel like a failure, and we feel like we're not living up to everyone else's expectations. And not only that, but then we talk to other mothers and they're like, hey, you don't homeschool your kids? What kind of person are you? Or you do homeschool your kids? What kind of person are you? You don't let your kids eat sugar? Can't believe you're such a horrible parent. You feed your kids sugar? Like, I can't believe you're a horrible parent. It's unbelievable the amount of pressure that is placed on moms. But I want to tell you today, the pressure to be perfect doesn't come from God. God doesn't require perfection. He just wants your presence. He wants you to be involved. Because listen, there's going to be mom fail moments. There are. Mary had them. In Luke chapter 2, when I was talking about the story of Simeon and all of that that was going on, right after that, there's an epic mom fail. Every year, Jesus' family, Mary, Joseph, the whole crew, they would go to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. And they would go there and they would spend some time and then they would journey back. And there would be a large group of people traveling with them. All of their family would have to go and do that. And in Luke, it tells us that they traveled for a day before they even noticed Jesus wasn't there. Mom fail. Like, you ever forgot your kid somewhere? I have. I don't know if Jennifer ever has. But I've left my kids someplace and forgot them completely. And this is the whole day, the Bible tells us. And it says, so they turned around and they went back. And finally, 3 days later, they found him. Mary, you lost the Savior of the world. Like, how does that happen? And then there's another story, mom fail in Mark chapter 3. Jesus had started gathering this huge crowd around him, started doing some amazing things. And so people were all gathered around, and Jesus starts teaching and telling them, hey, this is about what's going to happen. And in Mark chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, it says this, then Jesus entered a house again, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples, they weren't even able to eat. All these people gathered around, full house, they're not ready to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. Jesus is out of his mind, Mary thought, his brothers thought. Like, there are going to be times, mom, when you look at your kids and you think, man, you're out of your mind. There are going to be times that your kids disappoint you and they make you feel less than perfect. But once we understand the pressure, like the pressure for perfection is not coming from God, it frees us up to use their potential to cause something great. And it's really about the potential, because there's going to be pressure. And then the third thing is, listen, there's going to be pain. And we need to understand that there's pain in the process. For some of you this morning, you feel that pain already. Maybe as a parent, maybe you've lost a child and there's pain. Maybe you have a prodigal right now and they're running from God and there's pain. But pain doesn't have to end the progress. The story when Jesus was going to the cross, I can't imagine what Mary would have felt. As she's watching her son be on trial, she's watching the whips and the crown of thorns go on his head. She's watching all of this take place, and the pain that she must be experiencing even at that point had to be unbearable. And then finally, Jesus is hanging on the cross, and this is what it says in John chapter 19. It says, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. So she's standing at the cross. She's watching her son die. And Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he'd loved standing nearby. He said to her, woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. And from that time on, the disciple took her into his home. Like, I can't imagine the pain of watching your son suffer and die for the sins of the world. I can't imagine the pain that some of you may be feeling right now because of a child, or maybe because of the lack of a child. But I'll tell you, the same thing is true for Mary that's true for you, that the pain is not permanent. The pain does not stop the progress, because as Mary watched her son die on that Friday, it was just 3 days before Jesus would come out of the grave triumphant to defeat death and sin. It would just be 3 days of probably the worst pain that could ever be experienced before she would see her son again and know that because of that, because of what he did and what he accomplished, that we have an eternity in heaven. So the pain that you experience now or the pain that we'll experience later, listen, it's temporary. Peter would write, all of these trials, all of these sufferings that you're going through are temporary, are really, he uses a word that kind of means that they're not as near as important. They're insignificant compared to the glory that will be revealed when Jesus Christ takes us all to be in heaven with him. So mothers, listen, if you would recognize and understand the potential that your children have, not for sports, and that's not bad, not for music, and that's not bad, but if you'd understand the potential that they have for the kingdom, and you'll fight through the pressure, and you'll deal with the pain, God has something great in store for them. So mothers, today I just want to encourage you that wherever Jesus is leading you, that you'll follow. Mary followed Jesus all the way to the cross. She endured the pain. And I just encourage that of you mothers today. Wherever he's leading, that you'll follow. Because the impact that you have is one that will make a difference for eternity. If you see the potential that they have for the kingdom. We're going to have a time of decision today, of response today. And for some of you, like I said, I know there's pain. And there's pain maybe that's come from decisions that you've made. And there's separate relationships there. Today's the day that you need to decide that I'm just going to, wherever Jesus leads me to fix that relationship, I'm going to take that step and go. For some of you, there's pain because you've been carrying around this guilt and shame of sin in your life, maybe from a decision that you made 25, 30 years ago. You're carrying this pain. And today is the day to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to give that sin. I'm going to give that shame. I'm going to give it all to Jesus and experience new life like we saw earlier in baptism. So I'm going to ask you to stand and pray with me. And after we pray, as the band leads us in a song, I just encourage you, if there's a decision you need to make, to come forward. Father God, we are thankful today. We're thankful for who you are. We're thankful for the so many stories in the scriptures of what godly mothers look like. We're thankful that even in that, there's stories of epic mom fails. But yet, God, you still use them to make a difference in your kingdom. Father, I pray this Mother's Day that our mothers, that they would be honored. Your word says to honor your father and your mother. And so I pray today that it would be a day of that. But I also pray it would be a day of next steps. A day where people will follow you wherever you lead. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen.